Hold on. Phone's off.
Okay, guys. Yes. Good evening, everybody. This is a special meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Canutillo Independent School District. Today is September 20th, 2011. The time is 5:35 p.m. Tony, would you please call the roll?
Mrs. Hassan?
Here.
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Charles?
Here.
All right, before we start with the regular agenda items, I'd like to ask the board if it's okay if we take the executive session item number 4 out of order so we can dispense with that issue first. Any dissent from the board on taking this agenda item up now? All right, hearing none, Tony, would you please take the board into executive session under the pertinent code provisions?
Yes, the time is now 5:37 p.m., and the meeting is to be closed for consultation with attorney and to discuss personnel matters under Texas Government Code, Section 551071, 551074, and 551082. For consultation with legal counsel, discussion of personnel matters, including discussion of employment status of O'Keefe Rudy Keys, and discussion of employee status changes, non-exempt to exempt.
Give me the time, Tony.
6:13.
All right, the board is back in open session. The board has not completed agenda item 4, executive session, though, at this time. The board will move on to the rest of the agenda items. Tony, item 2.
Presentations from Energy Management
Consultants
regarding district-wide energy management services. Dr. Murphy?
President Coronado, board members, audience, we have the opportunity tonight to meet as a board to listen to three vendors regarding energy management services for the district. We have representatives from Chevron, Johnson Control, and Schneider Electric. We are going to go in alphabetical order, and by agreement, we are going to hold this in a semi-private session. The vendors that are not presenting need to leave the room. We are going to be going out of order, so Chevron will come, go first. So Chevron, if you come up and set up, and staff, if we could help Chevron set up. Appreciate Ernesto and Mike or whoever, and if we could ask the other vendors to leave. Mike, if you could help the other vendors find a spot, maybe they go in my conference room or something like that. Appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We're allotting between 20 and 30 minutes to each vendor to present. And also, all vendors have agreed that we're not going to talk about pricing tonight. Nothing about money or cost. It's just about services. So, President, I'll turn it back over to you.
All right, this time then the board will entertain the presentation from Chevron regarding our energy management services.
So that I may understand how this works, I'm assuming that you all see that in there.
Why don't we go down the so we can see, board. I know at least one or two of the trustees can't see because of this pillar.
Okay.
just put this over here.
Introduce you to Chevron Energy Solutions tonight. We're excited to be here. We have a good message, and hopefully that you'll see at the end that we are an outstanding partner to choose. My name is Jeffrey Howland. I am the Value Development Manager. Along with me is Brad Berger, who's the Regional Director for Development in our area. And together, we're going to introduce you to Chevron Energy Solutions. The theme of the introduction is people, partnerships, and performance. So our goal is to leverage the people, our good people with your good people, and team together, partner together to develop an enduring performance program for the campus. So in terms of meeting Chevron Energy Solutions, I first let you know that we are a subsidiary of Chevron. And our subsidiary is completely dedicated and focused to energy conservation, sustainability, and facility improvements in the public sector. So we work with school districts, universities, cities, municipalities. We even do a lot of work with the federal government. So that is our mission as we report into Chevron, the corporation. In doing that, we have implemented over $1 billion in performance contracting, which is the topic of what we're talking about today. So we've got a tremendous amount of experience in this area. We always include guarantees of our savings. We do these programs across the country. 60%, fully 60% of those projects have in fact been with public schools in the United States. Again, we've done some for colleges and universities as well. Chevron Energy Solutions does sponsor national school associations, so we are connected to schools. We are connected to your issues and your needs and your budgetary concerns. Chevron Energy Solutions is NAESCO accredited. That's really important. NAESCO stands for the National Association of Energy Service Companies. So we are fully accredited in good standing. We're also qualified by the Department of Energy, which is, of course, our federal focus on energy conservation and sustainability across federal properties. We are a signatory to the Clinton Climate Initiative, which means that we adhere to the best practices that are born inside of the Clinton Climate Initiative or performance contracting. So that's a little bit about Chevron and why we are the right partner for Cantotiva ISD, we believe. There are three points I'd like to make. The first point is that We are a neutral energy company. So we do not have, we are product independent. We do not sell specific products. We are vendor independent, so we don't sell specific brands of equipment. And we're commodity independent. So we work with the TDSPs, the El Paso Electrics, and all the folks out there that supply electricity and sell electricity. We, in fact, work with all these entities that you see on the right. So we work with the Johnson's Controls of the world, the Siemens of the world, the Schneider Electrics of the world, in terms of doing performance contracts for school districts. So we're able to go out and source independently, independent of our perspective, source their solutions to best fit your needs. The second reason we believe that we are a right partner for Kenetiva ISD is that we are Texas-based. Some of you may know the history of Chevron, but Chevron is a Texas-based company. So, and we're proud of that. It's very important to us. One of our major headquarters is right downtown in Houston. So anything that happens in Texas is critical in Chevron's eyes. Your priorities as a school district will be addressed from Texas, right here in this state, not from another country. As you look at these particular companies, you will find there are some that have their origins outside of the United States. We are here and we're in Texas with over 8,000 employees, so some of our employees attend the same public schools that we service. We're also very focused on the communities in Texas, so we make sure that we engage in the local economy for subcontractors and business and business partners to work with you and us as we deliver a service to you. The third reason we believe that we are a great partner for Kenetiva ISD is that we are financially durable. There's probably not one energy service company that can put a balance sheet on the table in terms of the amount of finances we have to back up and support the guarantees that we have other than Chevron. Now, that's important because the guarantees that will come out of such a program that we're contemplating could be for as long as 15 to 20 years. So it is important that you've got a partner that's got a balance sheet that is durable and can withstand the test of time. Also, as the energy business changes and transforms, you want someone there that can carry your projects forward. So you may have some bonds now, but in the future, year 5, year 10, what have you, there may be some needs for some other financing options, and we can make that happen for you. So three reasons why we believe that we are a great partner for Kenetiva ISD. Clear differences that we bring is our vast experience with over 35 years. We've got several hundred employees that are in the engineering discipline that support the work that we do. So 35 years of experience, hundreds of engineers, national project activity across all borders and states and across all different marketplaces. We will bring that to you in terms of best practices. So we have folks that have done projects with different challenges, and we will be able to bring their learnings and their best practices to Kenetiva ISD. Importantly, energy is our only business. We do not sell cell phones, we do not sell chillers, we do not do these other things, but it is energy. That is the heart of Chevron. So that means we will be here for you in the outgoing years on any energy topic, be it renewables, be it energy pricing, be it new schools as you build and grow. We are here to help you with that challenge. Seamless project implementation. Because of the resources that we have, because of the way we mobilize, we're able to make things happen in a seamless fashion. That's actually feedback from our customer. Same thing with creative out-of-the-box solutions. Because we're not tied to vendor equipment and vendor options, we can be out of the box. We can go grab that new approach, that new idea. That's also been told to us by our customers. Strength of guarantee, it all comes back to that again. Make sure that as you're looking for a partner that you've got one that has zero risk in terms of our financial stability to Kenetiva ISD. Very critical. So that's a little bit about the introduction to Chevron. I'm going to talk a little bit about the work that we've done with you in terms of the feasibility assessment that we did, and then Brad's going to share some other items with you that kind of relate to that. So I'm going to switch gears and talk about your priorities and talk about your areas. And we understand them to be, you've got some concerns or some things that you wanted to correct relative to your new high school, that you're looking at your new Eastside school to be a hallmark, if you will, in the area of LEED sustainability in this county. You want it to be the flagship, the best, and the baddest, and we understand that. Also, district-wide, you've got some energy management, some energy issues that you'd like to be addressed. So what we did, myself and my colleagues did visit your campus probably about 3 weeks ago when we did some analysis of your facility. So what we're going to talk about is very preliminary work because it's only based on a short time, so it's kind of high level. But what we did see was that for the Cantia High School is that there's a need for four controls and the right controls. And there's also a need for system optimization. So what we mean by that is taking advantage of what you do have and making sure that it is still usable and still has some usable life to it. How can we optimize that? So instead of changing out or switching out, the issue is let us get in, dig deep, and really understand how we can leverage what you have and optimize it and put the right controls in to continue that optimization. And use things like demand control ventilation and retro commissioning and a different kind of pumping strategy to take the load off or share the load, if you will, of those two big pumps that you have in that facility. I had an item on there to replace the loop pump, but I believe that's also in your line item agenda for this particular meeting. So that's already taken care of, I guess. But those are the kinds of things that we would do and include in our program. The good thing about including something like that in our program is we're able to integrate the pump, the controls, and the entire design of the install such that it's all connected together and not disjointed. So you're not just putting in a pump to put in a pump, but you're doing it the right way. Lighting retrofits is another opportunity. You notice we say engineered lighting fit, retrofits, because this is not a matter of just going in and taking out light bulbs and putting in lower energy light bulbs. But it's a matter of understanding what's going on in the space, what are the options for better lighting, is daylighting available, is there another way that we can configure the lighting to get a better rendering into the classroom. So this is an engineered approach to making sure we've given you the right solution. This is a high priority for you. We do have a seven-step approach going forward. So we did a preliminary study the other day, and if selected, we typically go through a comprehensive analysis where we're doing ground-level engineering, and then we go into construction management and so forth. Because of our capacity to deliver projects, we would be able to mobilize quickly and work against Canisius High School, and we're thinking that within about 6 months or so, we could, from being selected, we can get in there and make something happen for you to solve that problem. The Eastside School, Chevron has LEED accredited professionals on our team. We work with schools across the country in terms of modernization and energy efficiency and power generation and so forth. So we are confident that we've got the right talent to sit down with you and work with you and your architects and the other team members to make sure you're taking advantage and getting LEED done the right way. So the work we do is rewarded and recognized across the country, and so we would be prepared to make sure that we help you deliver against your strategy of making this the benchmark, the hallmark campus in the county of El Paso. We'll push it to the state of Texas. We want you to be the best in Texas. From a district strategy, the things that we kind of talked through were how do you go from your swamp coolers to refrigerated air across the campus? So There are several options. We're not sure which one would be best at this point, but we've looked at different ways. So we want to make sure we're getting the most cost-benefit out of it and that we're choosing the right equipment for you. So there's different ways we can go. Same for controls. There's different ways we can go. The good news there is that the way we approach that is that we go with non-proprietary open architecture, open structure controls, right? So we would look at Tritium and Automated Logic or some of those other controls out there, and we would help you. We would be by your side as we interview them, as we analyze what they have, features, benefits, costs, simplicity of operation, long-term life cycle costs. That's what we do. We bring that to the party for your controls in all the buildings. And the issue there is not just the controls for making sure the room is comfortable and making sure the motors are running right, but understanding from the enterprise energy management perspective the whole picture campus-wide. Where's the information? Where are the facts? How are you using energy? What can you do better? How can we adjust according to the seasons and save dollars? Because if you go to refrigerated air, you're going to be looking for ways to make sure you're pulling that, slowing down your meters as much as possible, because you're going to be spending more electricity, of course, refrigerating the classroom. So we're going to pull it all together for you. That's our plan. Other potential enhancements, water conversion, empathy wells. Renewables, we do a lot of renewables, and we'll look at that real hard. Our caution is that solar right now is kind of tough to get into. We'll look at some the areas that might interest you. For the elementary school, some of the same things, so I won't go over them in much detail, but I would certainly want to emphasize that we want to make sure that we're optimizing your existing refrigerated air systems. They're there now. Let's make sure they're running the best they can. Let's recommission or retrocommission, which simply means to go in there and make sure the set points, the calibrations, the operation, the way it's designed to do it is working right. So those are just ideas at this point, and again, a detailed audit will tell us a little bit more. So our experience. We have done projects in over 80 schools nationwide. Our biggest was a $100 million project, so again, size is not an issue for us. We currently manage quite a bit in annual energy guarantees, and that is what that means. That means we stand up and back our guarantees monetarily on an annual basis, so that if we miss it, we pay. So we're right now carrying $658 million. And I have to reemphasize that this guarantee is backed by a huge balance sheet. So your risk is minimal. So just an eye chart, these are some of the things that we're doing. We're also doing some things that we're going to be talking about here shortly, right in your own backyard. So what I'd like to do now is kind of take you through what we're doing for El Paso County Community College District. We have been engaged with them for about 2 years now. We've gone through several phases of work. We pride ourselves in that. So we pride ourselves in starting out and doing fine work, doing excellent work with the people, partnerships, and performance that I talked about before, and earning a phase two or phase three and so forth in terms of continued improvement. So we've done two phases. We were looking at a third phase. The other item I wanted to point out is that the bullet points would suggest that we are comprehensive and we do a wide range of solutions. We're not just focused on controls and focused on air conditioning, a wide range of controls of solutions. The other thing I would point you to is that on the far right, you see that our achieved savings, we're at 110% of goal. So we are overperforming in terms of that benefit, of which goes completely to the customer. You would hope to be in a position to overperform for KTU ISD. I would tell you also that we are doing lighting and some water retrofits in your early college buildings that are associated with El Paso County Community College District. So in a way, we are already working for you. We are already partnering with you on improvements. And the next thing I want to do is kind of switch gears and move into a discussion about Houston Independent School District, which we're very proud of and have
Brad Berger talk through that.
All right. Appreciate that. Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity for us to talk about our energy program. I'll kind of stand up here and I'll do well behind the podium. But what we want to do here is talk a little bit about Houston Independent School District, and that's a project that we're just selected on. And what's unique about this program, we're actually doing this project with one of our competitors. You're going to be hearing from them. They'll be the third one. And so it's a large enough project. It's 30 million square feet that they split in half, where we're doing 15 million square feet and Schneider Electric is doing 15 million square feet. So we're working side by side with Schneider, with Houston ISD. But what I want to talk about with Houston is what makes up an energy project is not necessarily just energy efficiency. If you want to put in more efficient equipment, you can go hire a lighting contractor, you can go hire an HVAC contractor, but if you want to do an energy program, it encompasses more than that. And that's what we're doing with Houston ISD, and that's why it's unique. And we're just now in the development stage, but you can't really see it, but there's really four components. You have facilities, you have web-based program, you have alternative energy sources, and you have educational components. And we believe very strongly in the energy efficiency side because that's really what pays the bills, and the energy savings that are generated from the program. But what we also want to do is incorporate a couple different issues. One is sustainability. We want to work with the district and your district to develop organic recycling programs or recycling programs within the district to teach kids that there's different waste streams. There's waste streams that go straight to landfill. There's waste streams that go to recycling. And then there's waste streams that can go to organic recycling, which is composting. Because one of the heaviest costs or one of the heaviest hauling costs is food waste. There are a lot of uneaten banana peels that come out of the cafeterias. You go to compost versus landfilling. And so if we can do that, we can potentially generate a revenue stream from waste in terms of organic recycling and recycling of papers and plastic if you're not currently already doing that. The other really big thing that we want to really get into is education. We believe that, and I'll talk in another slide, but education is a real component of this. Being part of Chevron, they're a big believer in STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. There's a shortage of engineers being graduated from today's colleges here in the U.S. We have 2 minutes?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay, I'll wrap it up. And so we really want to focus on education. We look at transportation, and in transportation there's really two things. There's routing, and I'm basically stealing a concept from UPS where no left turns in terms of your bus routing. It's a lot cheaper and more efficient not to take left turns but to take right turns. So we're working with USPS Technologies to help incorporate a more efficient busing transportation system for HISD. And also an enterprise energy management system, which is really a monitoring program to demonstrate how you're using the energy.
Right, there we go.
Okay, so in addition to those sources, what I also want to focus on is, as Jeff said, we do a lot of alternative energy and renewable energy. We do that because we can test those projects within Chevron, but we're also the largest installer of solar and renewable technologies in the K-12 market and the educational market throughout the country. But one of the key things that we're really looking into in terms of the new initiative is CNG bus transportation. We're really focused on with the surplus of natural gas in the United States, that's really become an alternative fuel source for busing. As you retire your current fleet to newer buses, U.S. is long on U.S. natural gas. We've got plenty of supply. It's a lot cheaper, cleaning, burning fuel. And we're in the position where we can set up a fueling station for the district and maybe in conjunction with the city and work with the municipality, the city of El Paso, to convert their system to CNG and put in a fueling station that multiple customers could use. So when you look at selecting a company, you kind of got to ask yourself, you know, these few choices. Now, is the customer you're choosing vendor neutral? And the reason why we want to say vendor neutral because do they have your best interest at heart? We look at trying to optimize your current facilities without replacing equipment. If I'm a vendor that sells equipment, I've got a truckload of chillers and controls and lights and ballasts that I want to move as part of this program. But we don't sell a product. We sell a service. That service is energy efficiency called performance contracting. So we don't want to get into building HVAC maintenance. We don't want to sell you the services. We want to optimize and find the best solution for the district. And you also want to make sure that they're comprehensive. And the comprehensive isn't just lighting control, HVAC, and building envelope. It's educational components, it's transportation, it's sustainability, and it's education. And are we moving the needle on education? And really, when you get down to it, that's what we're trying to do in these processes. We want to move the needle on education. And the way we want to do that is help support educational programs that focus around STEM education and help graduate more engineers in science and technology. And that's really what leads into this last one of the last slides right here, is we invest heavily in STEM technology, not only in Texas, but in California and where Chevron does business. So we believe it's very important. It's not just an initiative at the Chevron Energy Solutions level, but the Chevron Corporation came to us and asked us to develop a science program that we can incorporate into our energy efficiency programs to help teach kids about renewable technologies, sustainability, and recycling. And that program is called Envision. So what we bring in a staff person that then helps create a curriculum within your existing science and technologies that support those programs. And we have that support staff on our payroll. So really, in closing, to get within my 5 minutes, you know, as I said, there's more to energy efficiency than just lamps and ballasts and energy efficiency. What you really want to do here is select a partner who's going to support the mission-critical need of education, and that's really what we're here to do. You need somebody that's going to not only support the need in terms of educational programs, lower utility bills, but what we want to do is, it's been proven that if you can have a more comfortable learning environment, your kids are going to learn more, your teacher's going to teach better. So what we want to do is impact the educational component of what your mission is, and that's teaching. So we want to take our program, blend it into your educational program, and support that as an overall initiative. So with that being said, any questions or comments?
I have a question.
Okay.
But do you do air quality?
Yes. We would come in and do an air quality analysis. We do that through CO2 sensors with the energy management control system. One of the key things we'll look at is an air quality analysis in the very beginning to make sure that we're following ASHRAE standards, which are the standards for basically air turnover in the individual classrooms and buildings, and to make sure that enough fresh air is being brought in so kids aren't falling asleep.
And what is the domestic water retrofit?
That would be New China, going to low-flow toilets, urinals, shower heads, aerators on faucets to reduce your energy or water consumption.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Any others? Very good. Well, appreciate it. Thank you very much, and you know, look forward to potentially working with you all in the future.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've got some brochures.
Sure. If you'd like to use those, we'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is the PowerPoint.
you get one there?
Yeah.
See Dr. Barker.
Yeah.
Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. I want to introduce our team. My name is Mike Bailey. I'm one of the county executives with Johnson Controls. I also have Joel Lopez, who is also one of our county executives. Tom Streedy, who is a professional, one of our professional development engineers, and Ken Seidbaum, who is a professional development engineer as well. First off, I want to say thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. As a former school administrator, I understand the breadth of issues that y'all are forced to deal with over time. You just adopted, pay scales and multi-million-dollar budgets, and next thing you know, you're looking at bids for theatrical lights for the auditorium. So, I truly understand the breadth of the issues that are coming before this body. And saying that, as we get into this presentation, we're going to be covering a lot of material. We're going to be moving quite rapidly because of trying to stay within the time allotted. So if you do have questions, please don't hesitate to stop us, and we want to answer those and make sure that you have all the information that you need. These are the themes that we hope to develop tonight as we go through our presentation. Johnson Controls has a lot of tremendous amount of expertise as it relates to energy service as an energy services company. We've been in business for over 125 years. We are a top 25 construction company in the United States. But more importantly, we also have local presence, and we'll be developing that theme as we go through this. What we're going to be discussing tonight is the delivery of a tailored energy solution that is data-driven. And we'll be talking about that and some various items that we'll be discussing, the lifecycle cost approach, the cost versus savings approach, and cash flow modeling. We also want to talk about cost-effective, green, sustainable solutions, and we'll be discussing that with regards to both existing facilities and new construction. We also have a proven project delivery system that we'll be discussing, and we're very proud of it, having developed that over 2,500 performance contract deliveries and several $1 billion of construction projects. And then we have a proven program for design of new green facilities. Quick timetable as to how we got to where we are today. The district executed a memorandum of understanding for a no-cost preliminary study. And that study is what we have delivered tonight to you. To prepare that study, we reviewed the available utility data. We conducted an on-site tour of all facilities. In the report, we have developed efficiency opportunities called efficiency conservation measures for each campus. We've also developed alternative strategies and prepared cash flow models that we'll be discussing, and we'll close with next steps. This is just a real quick overview of the table of contents of the preliminary report that you have and the themes that are contained within that report. And as you see, there's quite a number of items that are covered and addressed in that. I know you received that tonight, so you won't have time to review that. Again, as you get into that process of reviewing it, we'd love to welcome the opportunity to answer any of the questions that you might have. We talked a little bit about our experience and our expertise. Some of the local projects that we have been involved with are shown on the screen in front of you. We're working with the City of El Paso, currently delivering a performance contract. Actually, we're in phase two of that, I believe, looking at potential moving to a phase three. We've worked with UTEP, Fort Bliss, and some of the others that you see there. There's also some comparable projects to what, is being proposed here at Canutillo, and that is working with existing bond projects and expanding that bond and to allow the more to be accomplished. A couple examples of that are Lone Star College. They went out and had a $450 million bond. On top of that bond, they hired us to deliver a $33 million performance contract to help address other issues as well as provide greater efficiency in the delivery of what they were, the outcomes that they were seeking. TF ISD was a similar project, $20 million bond, with a $3 million PC on top of that. We also discussed local presence, and this is something that we're very proud of. We're very proud to be a part of the El Paso community. You know, we have an office here in El Paso. We have 13 technical staff and trucks located here within the El Paso area as part of our building efficiency groups. We have a total employee base here in El Paso County of 76. And this, these staff are tremendous at providing the local support for our project design, the local implementation of a project, and also, more importantly, the support after the completion. Johnson Controls is a performance contract leader. This was a study done by Frost and Sullivan. Basically, what you see there is that we have about a 22.5% share of the energy performance contracting market. Our next competitor is about half of that, and so we're real proud of our position in the marketplace. Kind of as a starting point, and we'll jump into, we started with an overview of the bond, and that's what this slide basically is. It kind of summarizes those items that are related to energy efficiency. And it's on page 12, it's here in your PowerPoint. It's also located on page 12, starts on page 12 in your preliminary study. Basically, we've outlined the things that we pulled out by campus for HVAC, heating, ventilation, air conditioning, lighting improvements, windows, insulation of the perimeter, and new duct. The total of all these things is about $10,705,000. When you look at all these items, all of these have an interplay. Each of these items, one decision affects another decision. So when you look at, you know, the type of insulation that you're going to do within the facility, that impacts the design and the sizing of the equipment that goes in, the HVAC equipment. The lighting load impacts that. The duct insulation. All these things are interrelated. And so when you look at each of these items, it's hard to break them down individually and address them individually. Instead, they need to be addressed as a whole for a tailored solution. And that's what we would propose to be involved with the district, is to work in developing that total scope so that everything is interrelated, that the efficiency that is realized in the delivery is maximized. In doing that, you know, why select JCI to deliver your bond program? That's the first question I would have if I was sitting in your place. You know, the approach that we look at is life cycle cost approach. In other words, you have the upfront cost of installing a piece of equipment, but then there is a ongoing cost associated with it. There's the cost of the utilities, there's the cost of the repair and maintenance and upkeep, and all those things go into what's called that life cycle cost approach. And whenever we develop a tailored solution, that's the approach that we look at. We look at minimizing the life cycle cost of the project, not just the total upfront cost, but the cost over the entire life of that piece of equipment. The other thing is, as I said, we provide a turnkey solution. So in other words, we'll do the design. You don't have to go out and find somebody else to do the design. We'll do the design. We'll go out and get the costing for that, and we can provide very effective costing for our solution, and then we actually deliver the project. We can, you know, our solution can expand on what the bond is proposing to accomplish by, you know, funding part of this, as we'll discuss, in a performance contract. It can even serve to address if there are shortfalls in the bond for things that you'd like to accomplish that you might not have been able to. Our approach, we believe, creates the greatest efficiency. Looking at it as a total solution, being able to design and implement, it allows us to guarantee to provide the greatest efficiency of the equipment and systems that are delivered. The other key component is guaranteed performance results. We actually work with the district in developing a solution. And as part of that solution, we'll identify savings that will be realized. In other words, right now you're spending utility dollars. And we'll talk a little bit about what future utility dollars will look like and projections of those in a moment. But we want to save those dollars and utilize those dollars to improve the efficiency overall of the district. So as a company, in doing that, we call that performance contracting, and it's under Section 44901 of the Texas Education Code that permits that to happen. we will actually guarantee that the results. We'll guarantee that the equipment will perform the way it was said it would do, it was designed to do, and will also financially guarantee the performance. And so if you don't realize the savings that we projected, we actually will make up that shortfall and write a check for that. The decisions that you make as a board, a lot of things that you deal with are data-driven. And so we're going to provide the data to make sure that what you have is data-driven. Our technical side analysis, we review the utility spend for each of the facilities. This slide basically summarizes that, shows your utility expenditure, electricity, of course, being the biggest component, $855,000, water, $173,000, and gas, $134,000. We then looked at each campus on an individual basis, and we benchmarked each of your campuses based upon your current spend, which is based upon the current systems that are in place, the evaporative cooling systems and those sort of things that are in place. The other thing that we did was we did a lot of extensive analysis at the Canutillo High School. We know that is an issue that you're facing as to how to address the geothermal system that is currently at the high school. And basically, you know, that system's a 525-ton unit geothermal system out there. You know, it was designed for use with a building automation system. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. The graph that you see there is basically the operating, or the climate temperature in El Paso. And basically, the line in the middle going across horizontally is at 60 degrees. And basically, at 60 degrees, there's no need for heating or cooling. And if you look at on the left side of the graph and on the right side of the graph, you see that those are pretty evenly distributed. So you have equal days of heating and cooling on the far left and far right. It's that middle section that really is the concern that you have. That is when the operating temperature outside is higher, or the climate temperature outside is higher, which means that the system is actually in the cooling cycle, which means it's having to take heat out of the building through the geothermal system. Is taking those, what we call heat or BTUs, which is a measure of heat, and it's depositing those in the wells in the ground. The wells actually are just like a bank. They store that BTU up, and it grows and grows and grows until you call for heat, and then you take some of that BTU out to heat the building. And that's how the system works. Now, as the system runs, which is currently running without control systems, it runs all the time. And so you're actually maximizing the heat that's being generated through the pumping systems. You're maximizing the heat that's being put into the ground. And what happens is that ground temperature starts rising. And what happens as a result thereof is that efficiencies tend to start going down on the system. And so one of the things that is going to be an obvious fix for that is to be able to put in a building management system for that campus. And that's something that we're very have a lot of expertise in with our Metasys control system. Our Metasys control system can address all the issues of the building. It will control the pumps. It will control. It'll measure the heat values within the wells, and it will allow us to monitor the system throughout and set temperatures for operation. When to call for heat, when to call for cool. It'll have schedules in it that actually turn off the system when it's not needed. And so what the result of that will be, that it will obviously it will address any comfort issues that are within the building. It will address excessive equipment run times. It will address the excessive BTUs being deposited in the wells. It will increase efficiency of operation, and it'll reduce excessive energy consumption. And so that's what that Metasys system will do for you, and it'll address that. It'll also, as part of that process, as we monitor those well temperatures, as they begin to rise and the efficiency of the whole system goes down, there are other mechanical solutions that can be brought to play. In other words, we can put in a cooling tower or flue coolers or things like that on those wells that will actually also reduce that operating or that temperature or BTU temperature within those wells to increase the efficiency. Ken, is there anything else you want to add to that? Or?
Excuse me. Yeah, Mike, I think you're right on. really what we're trying to do is give you not only the ability to control the building as it sits today, but predict what's going to happen in the future by being able to monitor those pumps, the heat pump units and so forth, the products, if you will, that are in the system that potentially will one day fail or need repair. We can do those predictions ahead of time through an automated system. So your building operations folks will understand and see real time what's going on and be able to predict and plan for those maintenance items that will be down the road. And as well, like I said, we will be able to come up with a solution if there is ever issue with the wells being saturated, if you will. That's about the only thing that can really disrupt this type of a system is if the wells do become overheated. So, but the cooling tower he's talking about would allow us to have a secondary system to be able to assure that would never happen. It may never happen, but by having the predictive system, the building automation system, you'll have that insurance policy, if you will, that will not happen.
Are there any questions that we, we'll take a quick break here, is there any questions that we might need to answer at this point? The next thing that we did was we did some cash flow modeling, and this is one of the things that we discussed with staff and that we were going to prepare. Basically, under the bond, and again, in discussions with staff, there is a kind of a baseline approach that was developed as part of the bond, and that was to provide rooftop units within as part of the installation. We, typical installation that you look at in a school setting is a SEER 13, which you can see what those acronyms stand for up there. For a 4-ton cooling unit per classroom. And so that is the typical type of baseline. It's a good solution. It serves, 22 to 26 kids. It's very common type of equipment solution. And it has a useful life of 15 years. In doing that, what we did was we went in and then modeled what that system that putting all those units in to replace those evaporative coolers, what that cost would be. Because that was one of the things, back to being a data-driven decision, we wanted to be able to quantify that. And what we found was that, your current total utility expense per square foot is $1.10. Replacing those units with this baseline equipment that we're talking about that we've identified would basically raise that price to $1.23 per square foot, and a total annual increase in year one of $137,392, which represents about 2.5 full-time equivalent positions. Just to keep it in terms of M&O, looking at how you might fund that. That percentage increase is about 12%. So that's what you would be looking at if that was your solution for the district in installing those units, would be about, in the year one, once that was accomplished, would be that over $137,000 increase. The next scenario we looked at was going to a higher efficiency unit. And what we did was then develop a cash flow model for a 17.5 SEER 4-ton unit and with energy conservation measures built into that system. Basically, this is the cash flow that was developed as part of that. A summary of that is on the next page. And basically what we did was we compared our original baseline, which was your operating budget going up $137,902, to scenario two, which actually takes your M&O budget down $182,701 for a net decrease in M&O of right at $45,000. So what we're saying is not only are we proposing a solution that would keep you from increasing from where you are today, we could actually decrease that going forward, and so that by increasing that efficiency. Now, to do that, when you look at that cash flow on the previous page, the cumulative savings that was realized in that cash flow model was about $3.4 million that's shown there. There is an incremental cost associated with going to the higher cost equipment. You had about $6.2 million that was allocated in the budget for HVAC. The cost of this equipment is about $8.5 million, so a difference of about $2.8 million. As we discussed under performance contracting, the savings realized will actually fully pay for that equipment. And not only pay for that equipment, but they'll also generate a net positive cash flow of about $550,000. The other thing as part of the bond is the new elementary facility coming up. Anytime you open a new facility, you have an increase in operating budget typically that you're having to face with the additional staffing and support staff that is required for that. So by being able to generate this positive cash flow, that could work to offset that. Scenario three we'll touch on briefly was looking at a centralized cooling, some cooling chilling towers. The cash flow is there. Be perfectly honest with you, at this point, the cash flow the savings will not pay for the solution. But we did put this in there because we did examine it as a solution, as we had promised staff that we would do. In looking at your facilities, falling behind with looking here, in looking at your facilities here, one of the things that we've developed is district-wide energy conservation measures. So we're going to look for opportunities anywhere we can find them to save energy dollars. Whether it be, it's in the HVAC upgrades we've talked about, lighting upgrades. I've done a lot of tremendous work in lighting upgrades. Ernesto's been working quite diligently in phase one and phase two of that. He's been commended for all the hard work that he's done in delivering those efficient lighting things. We can look at providing lighting controls where the system shuts off when it's unoccupied, that sort of thing. Envelope upgrades, as we said, as it relates to the insulation, that is very important. Sustainability, green, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, water conservation, electrical upgrades, and IT. As we say, the performance contract solution is an MLE-neutral solution in the sense that it pays for itself, and in your case, it actually generates a positive cash flow. But the savings, as this graph shows, and again, this is under 44901 of the Texas Education Code, pays for the increase in cost. Real quickly, on page 64 in your report that we gave you, designing and retrofitting green and sustainable projects. One of the things that we're going to look at is the opportunity to look at your facilities and benchmark them for LEED certification. Right now, your facilities are very, very efficient. There's a great opportunity here that many of them may qualify, your existing facilities may qualify for LEED certification or green as a green sustainable facility. One of the issues that you have right now that limits that is because of evaporative cooling. It doesn't meet the ASHRAE standards, which is the amount of outside air coming into the building during the winter months. And so, as we develop this solution, there is that going to be that opportunity to certify. We have what we call our Compass Green tool, which is our own proprietary tool. We'll go in and benchmark your facilities where they are now, and we will identify the steps and measures to be able to get to the points that will get you there. We'll also look at solar PV, solar thermal, and as we said, the indoor air quality. The other things that we'll look at designing and constructing, we would love to be involved in the design and construction of your new elementary facility if you were to choose us. Our approach, again, is to be involved in the design, to be able to create a green, sustainable facility, to create a high-efficiency facility that we believe, we have the expertise to help you design and deliver. Finally, a few additional things that are covered in our report. As part of our solution, we also deliver what we call an integrated curriculum program. We believe it's a missed opportunity not to touch the students as part of this process, to involve them in learning. As we talk about green sustainable jobs for the future, this is an excellent opportunity to utilize our curriculum, and that's outlined on page 77. There's a whole list of curriculum that we can deliver to the district to integrate at all grade levels and start getting kids involved in the energy conservation and changing their thinking and looking at green jobs. The other thing that we will do, of course, is, as we've discussed, is a turnkey proven project delivery system, which we believe is very cost effective. It's an on time. The other key point of our delivery system is what we say we're going to do, we do. There's no change orders. So I think that's a key component as you look at this, is that we don't have change orders unless you decide there's something you want to add to it. We'll be glad to do it. There's unfortunately a cost associated with that. Training on all systems installed. We're a top 100 training facility. Training is a very essential part of whatever we do. The technology that we put in, your staff need to be trained on it. They need to understand it. We're going to do that. Support after the sale, as we talked about, through our local presence, being able to provide call support, service agreements. We can also integrate with SchoolDo. Y'all just recently started implementing SchoolDo. We are the only energy services company that is a licensed integrator for SchoolDo, which means that you don't have to have dual entry into both a building management system that shuts the system on and then the scheduling in SchoolDo. You could enter it one time at school due. It would automatically be pulled into our MESA system, and so that system would be shut on, shut off, whatever, based upon the schedule that was input. And so it takes out, time, clerical time, and having to do that takes out errors from duplication of entry and that sort of thing. So we're very proud of that. Next steps, we're here doing the preliminary analysis. One of the things that we're very proud of is that pursuant to an RFQ that was issued by Region 19, that we were selected based upon their rigorous study to be able to deliver our performance contracting solution through Region 19 interlocal procurement agreement. And so that is available to the district if you were to choose that. We're quite proud of that. If we were selected, the next big thing would be a detailed development would start. We would actually start designing the project, developing the scopes. There would be a final review with staff throughout these two steps. It's a very collaborative effort with staff and board. And then all of that is reviewed by a third party before the project begins work. And then construction starts. There's the guaranteed savings that we promised, and as I said, we guarantee both financially and in performance, and then the measurement and verification. When you look at a timeline for this real quickly, if we were to be selected and to deliver the solution in October and a PDA agreement, professional development agreement was approved for us to go out and start the design, that would basically take until January to do that design that we're talking about, develop all those scopes. And again, that is a collaborative effort with staff. That will then allow February with a third-party review. March would be when we could bring it back to the board for contract approval. April would be subcontractor selection. May would be for mobilization. And then June 1 would be, with the start of summer, would be our start of our construction period. And so that kind of gives you a brief overview of the timeline. This is some of our accomplishments we're very proud of, again, 125 years. Vendor neutral. And vendor neutral is very important because it's two things. One, we want to make sure that we provide, the solution that you want as far as equipment and controls. The other thing is we're going to maximize the amount of local subcontractors that we utilize. We're going to try to have the maximum impact on this local economy by utilizing local labor, local subs, wherever possible to deliver that. You can see what our awards are and things like that, and I won't go over those. Time's running short, so I'll stop there.
So you got 5 minutes question answer?
5 minutes of questions, bro. Yeah, and I don't mind asking for that because I got these guys to back me up. they know the answers I know.
Yeah, very well done.
So, any questions that you have?
Thank you very much.
Yeah. The timeline? You could. That's what you spoke to. No questions? No? We have some extra copies here.
Please, yes, absolutely.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you all very much.
Any questions that you all may have, please don't hesitate to call us. Maybe I can see everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate
the
plug in your phone?
Sure.
So I don't keep you any later than you already are. I'll go ahead and start. My name is Jared McCurley. I'm with Schneider Electric. Got a bunch of friends here. If you guys would each just introduce yourself.
Jason Gill.
Bill Farish.
John Holland.
Roger Hernandez.
All of these guys live in El Paso and work in El Paso, except for Roger, who actually lives and works in Canyotillo. So he is a constituent. So, I'm going to go ahead and get started. This is going to be all about maximizing your dollars and maximizing the effectiveness and efficiency of your buildings. That is what Schneider Electric does, hopefully better than anybody, and hopefully I can prove or explain that today. Here we go. So the last 7 years of me doing this, there's a growing concern. It's just over and over, what is going to happen as energy rates increase? How are we going to, and as budgets shrink, how are we going to keep operating these facilities? That's the main concern I hear from school districts. There's not enough money, but we still got to educate. So, in any challenge, there's always opportunity. So the financial challenge, a study recently came out that said that 60% of school districts are going to have to dip into their reserve fund here in Texas, their reserve fund this year, because of the cuts that came out of the legislature. Obviously, energy and operating costs are expensive, and they haven't stopped, and they keep going up. The other challenge is, student success is linked to your facilities. A study by Virginia Polytech Institute said that the condition of your facilities, so your lights, your air conditioning, your environment, is up to 11 percentile points on your accountability assessments. So this does matter to create an environment that has lighting, temperature, and be able to control the environment to make sure that your students and your faculty have the premium work and learning environment. So these are the concerns that we mainly talk about, but there is opportunity. How does a school meet these challenges? Well, and we're here presenting, you could partner with a performance contracting company or an energy services company. If you do that, our focus at Schneider Electric, and I'm sure some of my other colleagues that went ahead of me, we're going to focus on comprehensive projects that are going to focus on the life cycle cost of any particular building. And we utilize energy savings methods, so any project you do is going to be, the cost of it is supposed to be offset by energy savings. Of course, this is going to improve your learning and working environment. Anything Schneider Electric does, for the most part, is something you were going to do anyways. Let me explain. Most likely, you are eventually going to get nicer lights, whenever that may come. Most likely, you are eventually going to get, you know, upgraded HVAC equipment. So anything we do, we're designing to make it perfect, but we're not talking about necessarily solar panels or windmills. We're talking about your actual day-to-day operations that we can help, unless you want solar panels, which we do as well. The other thing is that fourth point, and this is something the school districts are starting to use. When you pass a bond, there's always the opportunity for bond overrun. construction costs come in a little bit higher, maybe there were some other things that you would like. How they view Schneider Electric in the past is they'll carve out the energy management portion or the HVAC portion, whatever that may be, and they'll finance it through, there's a bunch of different very good low-interest loans, and we put in all that equipment. It all pays for itself. So let's say you did $2 million of your bond. That means you could take that $2 million and put it towards something else because we install equipment that pay for itself. So it just stretches your ability to use your bond dollars. Now, of course, you don't have to do that, but that is an option out there. And then, of course, at the very end, the crux of all this is that we can guarantee it. Now, eventually we'll get down into the details of what does guarantee mean and how does that work. But you can rely on a performance guarantee. So where are we now? Where is Schneider Electric in relation to the KNUTO? Well, we're doing a preliminary energy assessment right now. Actually, on Thursday, we'll be sitting down with Mr. Almendarez, and we're going to start doing a walkthrough. So our engineers are going to be here. We've already walked the high school and started looking at what we can do to your geothermal system, your control system, what will be the best and most important impact for the school district. That report's going to be coming to you very, very soon. The other thing, the main thing is, and you may or may not know this, Schneider Electric has already put an energy management system into your high school. It was a smaller project, but your gym right now has our system, an energy management system, operating for heat pumps that Schneider Electric and actually control an equipment company who is a representative of Schneider Electric. We just installed. So you already are down the road. One of the needs we heard is that you would like a centralized energy management system, in particular at that high school. Well, you're already going that way. You have a pretty large energy management system already installed, just installed, actually. When did you guys finish? I guess you're finishing now. Is that right?
Yes.
So that's where we are. We're doing more studies, and we're already working with your district. In fact, there's the screenshot of the energy management system you have now. Now, I know this just kind of looks like it's a picture and all, but what's amazing is eventually your district, your operations personnel are going to be able to see what the temperature that's coming out of these systems is, what the outdoor temperature is, whether it's on or off. Eventually, what I'd love to do is give you guys a demo of what this system can do, if you'd like, in the future. Because what I've found with boards in the past is they'd like to find out what are we missing, what do we need more of? Because there's unbelievable how dynamic an energy management system can be. You can get humidity sensors. You can figure out when the buildings turn off and on. So anyways, this is a web-enabled system. So that means at any time, right here in the middle of this board meeting, we could pull it up on the internet and you could see what the temperature in the gym is. And that's what we'd want to operate the rest of the campus. That's where we would want to take you, expanding this, making it bigger. So that's on the high school. That's where we are now. What else can Schneider Electric do? Any given building. This is from the Department of Energy. Any given building, 25% of the life cycle cost of that building is in building it. It's in the engineers, it's in the construction. 75% of any building cost, 75% of the cost is in the operations. It is in the life cycle of it. It's actually operating electricity and maintenance. So if you knew this up front before you built a building, which section would you focus on more? Rhetorical, but where should that focus be? This is where LEED really started coming about, because when this data came in and people started saying, well, good grief, we shouldn't just be throwing a building up as fast and as cheap as we possibly could, because, I mean, sure, we'll get it built in 3 or 5 years, but what are we going to hamstring a district for 30 years because it doesn't perform as well as it should? So if you would, open your pamphlet here. On the left side, here's our LEED. And Schneider Electric does LEED all over the world. We're experts at it. This is one of our focuses. If you look on the back, the side that looks like this, you'll see what we actually, we make products and design all of these points. So basically, we would want to work in conjunction with your architect to ensure that not only is it LEED, but that it's very efficient. Because, next slide is, new construction does not mean energy efficient. These are just a couple of examples of buildings that were relatively new. The high school in Pennsylvania that was built in 2007, we came in, we saved them 14% right off the bat. But examples are, there's a green child development center in California that was built in 2009, and it was built wrong, even though it was green. Schneider Electric came in, basically had to redesign it, and they saved 45% off of their first year. Because new construction doesn't guarantee energy efficiency. And the same goes for LEED. LEED is spectacular. I'm so excited that you guys are maybe even interested in it. You definitely need to do it. But there's a difference between LEED and energy efficiency. If you look on that paper, a lot of those, the points have to do with transportation, so putting up bike racks and water. But then a different portion of it has to do with energy efficiency. So you really, to get a good project, you need to focus on not just LEED and sustainability, but also making sure that you're focusing on the energy efficiency side, not just sustainability. Or else you'll get a really green building that uses a lot of utilities. So why doesn't a new construction project always mean efficient? When it's supposed to be new, didn't they use the most efficient equipment? Even if it's LEED, it doesn't necessarily mean it's energy efficient. Well, because LEED and green, they lack performance criteria. That there is no standard that this building has to operate this way. So, like I said, you could get a LEED building that doesn't necessarily perform perfectly. Now, again, we want to do LEED, but just have the energy focus. The other thing is, most design engineers, a regular design engineer, don't have experience operating buildings. The designing something, design intent, often you guys might just in experience of life, just because something's designed to do something doesn't mean it actually happens. And so that's where there's a disconnect often. Design engineers, they only design. They don't necessarily have to operate facilities. Well, that's where Schneider Electric comes in. We design and we operate facilities. Again, the equipment efficiency is about 10% of the overall efficiency. The majority of energy savings comes in the operation of that building and making sure that it's operating exactly right. You can put a really, really efficient chiller or rooftop unit up there, but if it's running all day long or it was sized wrong, you're just going to use way more than you want. And then the last thing is, and then you have to monitor. Then you have to make sure that it actually is doing what you said it was supposed to do. So finally, the last point is, because of these things, because it's not guaranteed that you're going to get an efficient building when you just do new construction, the legislature, this last session, just legalized the ability to get a guaranteed building, a baseline, before you build it. Because the question kept coming up, well, gosh, how do we know for sure? How do we force a company's hand to... You know, we want it to operate at this many BTUs, and nobody would really do that. Well, now the legislature has passed that you can now get a building, a new construction building, guaranteed. So what Schneider Electric can do is say, if you want this building to operate at 40,000 BTUs per square foot, I'm just going out there, and if you would like it to operate this way, if we build it, or we design it and we build it, and it operates at 50,000 BTUs, we'll write you a check for that 10,000 difference until we get it right. So that just became a possibility. And the reason is because the legislature, whoever it was, got them to realize that design plus experience actually operating it, then actually monitoring and measuring and verifying what's happening, that is what equals efficient performance. And that goes for retrofitting your current buildings or building new. It doesn't matter. That is the equation to actually get performance. Just because something is supposed to be or is designed efficient, it doesn't mean it actually will be. It's in the operation. Case study. One that we just recently did is in Kansas. We had done regular performance contracts for them, actually two prior to this, meaning we had gone into their old buildings, retrofitted them, got them efficient. Then they were going to build a new building, and they said, hey, Schneider Electric, you've already done these other projects for us. What can you do for these new buildings? So we came in, and we guaranteed that after this building, if you let us design the HVAC, I'm not talking about the walls and stuff, just the core, it will operate this level. Sure enough, they did multiple projects with us, and this is one of the best quotes we have. We were tired of building these buildings wrong and having Schneider Electric fix them, because that's what we kept doing. They build a building, and then we come and do a performance contract on the building that had already been built. So those are specific to KUTO. Now I just want to talk in general what we, Schneider Electric, would like to provide to you. We'd like to develop a comprehensive integrated management system, energy management system. What does that mean? We would love to be your one source of accountability. At this time, Schneider Electric is the only company that is set up to do what I'm about to explain. The first part is, this is the energy management life cycle. This is how it goes. You try to figure out what's your strategy, where do I want to be, what are my sustainability standards. Then it goes into, how do I buy my electricity? How do I buy my natural gas? Well, Schneider Electric just procured the foremost electric and natural gas procurement consultant in the world, Summit Energy. So now you guys are in a regulated state, but your natural gas, basically we can get you the best natural gas rates out of anybody. So we can help you not only with the strategy of what to do, we can help you with the actual supply side, what your rates are, how much you're buying. How do we control it? That comes in with the energy management system and metering. We provide all of this. And then it goes to, okay, well, we know what we want to do. We know what products we want to put in. How do we build it? That's where my particular division comes in. We're experts in building energy-efficient buildings. We've been doing performance contracting in Texas for 17 years. And the last thing in any energy management life cycle is you have to monitor it. You have to measure and verify, did it actually do what we wanted? You know, we set this standard, and now we've gone through this process. Is it working? So what Schneider Electric can do is literally, one of my community college clients calls it one throat to choke. They like the idea of having one person to design all of this, and if it doesn't work exactly how you said, and there will be no finger pointing, we can be your energy management partner. In fact, just wanted to show you a couple of the dashboards that we can actually use now. Data is meaningless unless you have actually analyzed it and focused on, okay, we got all these numbers, now let's compile it into something that we can actually use. Well, now we have dashboards that you can put out to your teachers, you can put out to your students if you'd like, where it shows, what is this building actually using? Where would we like it to be? And these are constant. As you can see these gauges here, they're always showing. I mean, it's pretty much instant feedback. What are our buildings using? How does school districts use this? Well, on a behavior side, it empowers and informs their faculty and children. So they start using they start doing competitions of who can use the least amount of energy, and it just gives you more and more information. And it basically allows you to evaluate the effectiveness of your energy plan. These dashboards will actually show you, is what we're doing working? So in conclusion, this is my last slide. Put our experience to work for you. I said we've been in business for 17 years here in the state of Texas. That's just my performance contracting division. Schneider Electric's been around for a long, long, long time, over 100 years. We're a global scale. We're about $26 billion company. But every single thing we do is focused on energy. That is all Schneider Electric does. We don't build lots of other things. Everything has to do with being the premier energy management experts in the world. That is our vision. I mean, we're solutions based. We don't manufacture. I will never tell you, you have to buy this. Whatever equipment Kenyatta wants to buy, whatever, we are vendor neutral when it comes to the equipment. And we've done over, in particular, we've done over 140 performance contracts. But the crutch of all this is, not everybody needs what we're selling. I mean, that's the truth. Timing, whether you're building something, whether you have money, not everybody really is a perfect fit for Schneider Electric. But you guys and the needs that have been expressed is exactly what we're experts in. Every single thing, it's what we do. Not only that, we happen to have the local presence and workers right here that are already working on your campus to service you, and these guys have been here for 53 years. We have the global expertise with the local presence. So.
Thank you, Ryan.
Any questions?
Thank you. Yep, questions.
Appreciate the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, my card's in there if anybody has any particular questions.
All right, that concludes agenda item 2. Certainly a lot of food for thought for our current projects that we need to do for the bond items that we have to do for our schools, and I'm glad that we're getting a presentation and also having these companies have access to our baselines and our facilities to down the road here pretty soon. I guess we might need to do an RFQ for services. So we'll put that on an agenda item down the road. But a lot of stuff to think about that we're, especially when we're designing a new school, that we need to take into account. And some of the things, you know, that were brought up actually make a lot of sense that we consider. Mr. Rodriguez. Mr.
I do have a question of Mr. Armendariz. I don't really know how to word this. The Schneider people indicated that they put in the heat pumps in the new gym.
Actually, Schneider did not. Schneider controlling equipment did the work. But when, remember, if you recall, I said that I needed to put in a control management
yes.
system so that we won't
That's
lose those.
Okay.
They were the ones.
Thank you.
Are they
the They're not. They pre-selected them as, remember, they're, all of them are independent of each other. Johnson Controls is an independent seller. In other words, they have, I forget the name of their product. Schneider has Schneider, their product. And Chevron, I think, is the only one that doesn't really sell a product. They actually go to Johnson Controls and Schneider and all that to buy the software. So Control and Equipment selected them. I think they were doing another project somewhere here in El Paso, and they had used Schneider, so they asked Schneider to give them a price. And they were, I guess Schneider was the lowest price that they got.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Mr. Chair, what I was going to ask, I guess, and talking to legal, the best thing to do is to go out for the RFQs as soon as possible. And now that we've already had some presentations, I guess the fastest we could do, whether it's a 30-day RFQ, since we've already had some presence already, and that way we could do it correctly, then that would be best bet.
And if I recall right, is the are all of the energy management issues that we have, are in, are they in the part two of the bond?
Yes, sir.
All of them? Yeah, we really do need to move on that, and I suggest that the board direct administration to do that. We want to make sure that we're ready wherever we select and do the design process of what we're selecting, and we have go through that, that we're ready to implement these projects in the summer when the kids are out, because we're, you know, that's really when we're going to want to have the work done, right, Mr. Mendez?
Yes, sir. In fact, not all of them. I think the one for the new school, if you intend to go with one of these people to help us assure ourselves that we're going to have a performing building, energy performing building, that would be one reason to select one of them for the new school. Because they would team up, then they would team up with the engineers and with the architects in order to assure that we have an energy performing house.
And Mr. Chair, just real quick on the other stuff, I'm going to recommend that we do not approve until we get the full, the individual that's going to do it all. And that's why I would ask the administration to do the RFP would it be an RFQ or an RFP?
An RFP.
RFP.
I believe it would have to be an RFP.
Okay. To try to get those within the 30 days, and then that way we could select and try to move forward as fast as we can.
I agree, and I think we ought to do an alternate for the PK through 8. And I don't know how y'all want to direct administration with respect to the other campuses. I guess it might be the district-wide then for the rest of it, Mr. Armendariz, I don't know.
Yes, we can either, you know, just focus on the pre-K as one and then open it up for the other campuses. Since they're all independent, you know, if you were to select one for the pre-K and then you were to select the other company for the other ones, it doesn't matter because I'll be able to communicate with all the buildings because they're not using proprietary services or what is it, software.
Right. Even if we select two different ones, for one for the PK 3-8, one for the district wide, we can still control the actual systems and be the same.
Correct. Because they're all web based and they're all not proprietary. In other words, they can communicate with each other. I know Socorro and I know that Clint currently have two different systems in their district, and they're working with two different systems.
Okay. Board? All right, then, Doug?
Through the Chair, I just want to clarify tonight, and Mr. Blanco, maybe you can help. These three vendors were the three vendors that came to us. We have agreements with them, and they'd seen our CECO reports, and they'd actually been on our campuses.
Right.
That is why we had them present. I would think that in the future, if we had another vendor that had a similar type of involvement with our district, we would probably have to give them the opportunity as well. Mr. Blanco, maybe you can comment on that. We want to make sure that we're not doing anything inappropriate regarding vendor relations or vendor opportunities.
It's fine if they gave a presentation as long as they're open to the proposal selection process. They can do nothing wrong with that.
Great, thank you.
And Mr. Chair, and that's why I would recommend that we go out for the proposal so whoever else is interested can bring those proposals to us.
Sure.
And we have everybody, and then that way we're able to select who's the best.
Yeah, and make sure that if there's another vendor that is going to respond to the proposal, that they have the same access as these vendors have had to our data and our facilities.
So the proposal would be specific. Is that what you want, or do you just want a proposal to just hear their company background?
To select the one that would be best, they would make a presentation.
Okay, so it's
the best.
Specific.
Yeah.
And that is, we bring them into the campus, we give them access to our campus, we give them access to our utility bills, like we've done with these three companies.
Yes.
So that then they can come back and be able to give us a more specific presentation, give you, the board, more specific as to this is where we think we can save you,
yes.
Give you savings, instead of somewhere in here we can help you.
That's right.
Is that correct?
I think that's what the board wants.
And then I'm hearing, President, you had said you want one district-wide on current facilities and then one for pre-K-8, or would you like just one overall?
I would say the same, because if it's the same system, why would we want to have the district have two different systems?
That's a good idea.
So.
Well, no, we wouldn't have to. We don't have to have two different systems.
He was talking about Clint having two different systems. I don't think that's effective.
Softwares.
Well, two different softwares, it doesn't matter. It's two different systems or softwares that either you have to train or you have to, when it comes to the employees or whoever is using that type of software.
It's not uniform, and
yeah.
I think that's been our desire to have
uniformity.
All right, do the Schneider and Johnson controls have separate?
They essentially have, they're different. They have their software. Schneider has their software, and some other companies do. The big difference in them is that it's the graphics. It's what they can give you in performance. It really gets down to your presentation where they come in and say, okay, this is what we're going to give you. For X number of dollars, we're going to give you access to all this. And then the other guy comes in and says, for X number of dollars, we'll give you this plus this, you know, that type of thing. When I said that there are two different softwares, you know, essentially it's like going into the internet. You go in there, you click, I want to see the high school, you click it open. They all pretty much have the same introductory. They pretty much take you to the same thing. It's just what they have to offer. What other stuff can they give you? That's the difference in the software. But they essentially, they all have the same approach to getting into it.
All right. Board? Lauren?
Did I hear properly that Chevron and Schneider are currently working together in the Houston ISD?
Yes.
Maybe we could get, you know, a report on how that's working out.
I think probably because of the size of Houston ISD that they did that, not necessarily.
But, you know, do they work well together?
Yeah.
I think the marriage there was, again, if I go back, is that Chevron doesn't sell software, so they elected to go with Schneider. Now, I know that Chevron has used Johnson controls. So, you know, and they have that ability. They can either, you know, because it depends. If we, the school district, says, Chevron, we want you to take care of our efficiency and our design, okay, because mm-hmm. Chevron has, like all of them have their engineers, and so we want to go with you. But we'd like to have Johnson Controls as the system. Then they'll coordinate with Johnson Controls. That's
okay.
The difference.
All right.
Thank you.
Board? All of it for one? Yeah, okay. Let's
one, three emphasis, one being a district-wide, two being specific to our high school, our new high school, and three being specific
we
to
don't
our
have a
pre-K.
New high school.
Yeah, well,
the old new high school.
Yeah, the old new high school.
The old new high school.
We get a new high school.
So we'll write the address off.
For the new old high school.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? All right. Would the board like to go ahead and finish up agenda item 4 back in executive session?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go. Tony?
The time is now 7:51 p.m. and the meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code Sections 551071, 551074, and 551082, with consultation with legal counsel, discussion of personnel matters, including discussion of employment status of Joaquin Rudy Keys, and discussion of employee status changes, non-exempt to exempt.